Give all that praise to Jesus. To him be the praise. To him be the honor and the glory, I pray. As we enter into this week, it's Thanksgiving week. And I thank the Lord that God is able to minister to us in a fresh way. And for me this year, I found that it's been Thanksgiving month. Daily, I have been thanking God for so much that I'm grateful for. And I won't go into it all at this time, but I want to go to God's Word in Ephesians chapter 5 and looking at verse 20. Always give thanks for everything to our God and Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I consider that, it is often hard to give thanks for everything. If you get laid off from your job, it's not easy to give thanks, but you can thank God, you're going to be with me in time of trouble. You're going to help me when it's not an easy time. You're going to minister to me when it's not all that I like to see. And as I'm here today, and I see all of you that are here, it is easy for me to find that I'm thinking, well, thank God for all of you here. But I can remember when this place has been full from the front seat to the back, and we had to put chairs out, and we had to put chairs out, and it was full all the way. And look at it today, all the seats that are said, don't sit here. And I look at you that are here, and I have to understand, I need God to help me when it's not all that I would like it to be. I thank God for today, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And God, with your help, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. You gotta give thanks when it's not a perfect time. You gotta give thanks when you're a little bit surprised and you look and see that even marriages have rough edges, even families have rough edges, even houses have rough edges, but thank God for your blessings in spite of what the enemy is trying to bring into your mind. It's not what it ought to be. It's not what it ought to be. It's not what it ought to be. But he's promised, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's God with you in the time that is a challenge. Thank God he's with you in the time that is a challenge. And you're going to find challenges come your way. And you're going to see that, well, I don't know, the car's not running too good. I don't know the family. I don't know how they're going to be. And you come to holiday season, and you're going to find there's some family members sometimes you'd rather not see. There's situations around about you. But thank God that he has promised to be with you and says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But when I consider Thanksgiving, I want to bring you to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thank God for his son, Jesus, his gift, too wonderful for words. We can't even have all the precious words that are equal to what ought to be. Thank God for Jesus. And so as I come to Thanksgiving, I'm thanking God for Jesus, who went to the cross to take sins upon himself that he didn't cause to happen. And he, in that moment, came that we could be set free, that we could be delivered. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. Unto him be the praise. Unto him be the honor. Unto him be the glory. Let us come into this moment thankful concerning Jesus. Concerning Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And if everything else was wrong today, I could still be thankful. Jesus is with me. Jesus is going to help me. Jesus has brought me this far. Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me. Hallelujah, in this hour. If you can't find much to be thankful for, come to this and thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a better path day by day. He's taken me on in a blessed way. And praise God, I'm glad. What, that my sins are gone. Hallelujah. But thank God for the Bible, and especially the New Testament, means so much to me. I love both the old and the new, but the new is so precious because it has Jesus in it. It has the Holy Spirit in it. It has God's promises in it. Thank God for God's Word. And looking in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and looking here at verse 16, it says, rejoice evermore. Be joyful, be happy, be glad. How am I going to rejoice evermore? Listen, it's so easy to feel like I can rejoice when everything's right, but I can rejoice when it's not everything right, because it's not over. He who's begun a good work in you will continue that work until the day of his return. And so in this hour, there is something that you can say in a storm that can cause you to rejoice. There's something you can say when you are discouraged by all that's going wrong. And you look and you think, everything's going wrong. My family makes me upset. I look and my body's getting old and failing me. And I'm looking, where did all the money go? Where did all the money go? Where did all the money go? And when I come to this moment and I think about all the money that's disappeared in my life. Oh, I've had money that's disappeared. I invested it and thought, well, it's a great time. Oh, I found out it's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. It's not there anymore. But hallelujah, God is still here. God is still here. And he promises, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Rejoice evermore. And then after that, what are we to do? to pray without ceasing, to pray without ceasing. And I found I'm drawn to prayer more than I've ever been in my life. I'm thankful I can pray and not stop. 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 And he says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. Hallelujah. And then again, we have this word to us, in everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning who? Concerning you, concerning you. Give thanks to God when you look and think, other people got more than me. Other people get more benefits than I. It doesn't seem fair. It's a hard path that I'm in. But give thanks to God because you're living, and he's come that you might have life and have it more abundant. In the imperfect moment, give thanks. Thank God in the imperfect moment. Praise God and rejoice. But I'm coming to something that I really want God to use today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, looking in verse 15. How true it is, and how I long that everyone should know it, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. He came into the world to save sinners. And I want to tell you right now, it takes God's help for me to get excited about sinners. Because I look at sinners and I don't want to be surrounded by sinners. I want to be surrounded by winners. I want to be surrounded by winners. I want to be surrounded by winners. I'm glad it's not left up to me, because when I look at sinners, I get a little bit discouraged. I get a little bit depressed. I look at them and feel a little bit uncomfortable. And I thank God for all of you that are here. But if every one of you was still in sin, I'd be discouraged. I'd be discouraged. But listen, if every one of you still were in sin, Jesus came to save sinners. Jesus came, he ate with sinners. Jesus came, he spoke to sinners. Jesus moved and ministered to sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Hallelujah. And when I consider that, I thank God that Jesus is in control, not me. Because I would be looking at sincere people. I would be looking for more people that weren't discouraged, but wanting to do what's right. I would want to find people that I could trust. I would want to find people that had gifts that make room for them. I would like to find people that could get good things done. But Jesus came to save people that were wrong. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God for Jesus. He came to seek and to save the sinner. Hallelujah. Praise God for that. And may God help us all. Dear God, I pray. And then as we continue looking in Colossians, we're looking at a verse here, verse 6. The good news that came to you, Paul is saying, is going out all over the world and changing lives everywhere, just as it changed yours that very first day you heard it and understood about God's great kindness to sinners. God's great kindness to sinners. We like to have a winning basketball team. We like to have a winning company in business. We like to have a winning everywhere. But Jesus come and says, bring the losers here. Bring the losers here. I can work in their lives. Bring the losers. Bring the losers. Bring the losers. You better thank God it's Jesus, not George Bogle, because I would say, I don't want the losers. Give me the people that can win. Give me the people that are gifted. Give me the people that are sincere. Give me the people that are serious. Give me the people that will go the extra mile. That happens after God gets through with the sinner. After he gets through with the sinner. But he starts with what we don't even like. He starts with what we don't even appreciate. He starts with something that we would say, this is garbage. This is garbage. This is garbage. But hallelujah, Jesus can take garbage and make a treasure out of it. He can take garbage and make a treasure out of it. Thank God how wonderful Jesus is. Let's praise God for what God can do. Hallelujah. And Jesus speaking about the sinner in Luke 15th chapter and looking at verse 10. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. One sinner. Heaven gets happy over one sinner that repents. And when you think about all the people that are on the world, how could they get excited over one person, even if they were a good person? It would be so easy to just think, that's just one person. But one sinner that repents and heaven rejoices. One sinner that repents and heaven rejoices. And so, God, you got to change my feelings about sinners. I hate sinners in politics. I hate sinners in business. I hate sinners in the neighborhood. I hate sinners if I'm not careful. But I got to start loving sinners in government, loving sinners wherever they might be, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none of us that are righteous without Jesus making us so. May God help us, is my prayer this day. May God minister to us in a special way. God loves sinners, but he hates sin. You got to realize that God can see the difference between the person and the sin in their life. And so in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to a pastor. Sin is a reproach to a mother. Sin is a reproach to a father. Sin is a reproach to a business. Sin is a reproach. And know in this hour, because God loves the sinner, realize he doesn't love sin. He doesn't love sin. You got to know the difference. Sin is terrible. God set us free from sin, and God deliver us. Dear God, I pray. And there's a passage that touches me deeply. It's found in Ezekiel chapter 3. And Ezekiel was a man of God. And it tells us, as he gives his story, in verse 16, at the end of the 7 days, the Lord said to me, Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman for Israel. Wherever I send my people, whenever I send my people a warning, pass it on to them at once. When God gives a warning, pass it on. If you refuse to warn the wicked, when I want you to tell them, you are under the penalty of death. Therefore, repent and save your life. Wow. A man of God, if you don't do what I tell you, you're going to not live any longer. They will die in their sins if you don't tell them. But I will punish you. I will demand your blood for theirs. But if you warn them and they keep on sinning and refuse to repent, they will die in their sins, but you are blameless. You have done all you could. And here comes a part that touches me deeply. And if a good man becomes bad, and if a good man becomes bad, a good man can become bad. A good woman can become bad. And what are you to do, and what am I to do when a good man or good woman goes bad? If a good man goes bad, hallelujah, and you refuse to warn him of the consequences, and the Lord destroys him, his previous good deeds won't help him. You can be serving God for years and go bad, and your good you've done won't be there to help you. He shall die in his sins, but I will hold you responsible for his death, and I will punish you. But, verse 21, but if you warn him and he repents, he shall live, and you have saved your own life too. Two people win when some people get right. The person that helped them get closer to God. The individual that got forgiven, thank God, God can bless us both. And I pray that all of us could find somebody that we can help to get out of sin. Somebody that we can help get out of sin. Somebody to help to get out of sin. May God help us to be able to be used of the Lord in such a way that we can find a good person that's got into trouble. And you're going to find good people that get in trouble. There's ministers that get in trouble. There's people serving God that get in trouble. It's not just the man out in the street, but it's people that find everybody loves me, everybody likes me, everybody's looking at me. You gotta realize in that moment, you better pray, Lord, keep me from falling. 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 I can tell you this. You can be a pastor and there's those that will think you're attractive. You got to realize that we're living in a time that sin isn't just something for bad people. Sin is something that you got to watch out for good people. Good people could get into such a moment. God, keep us free. Help us, God, when we're good, to keep on praying. When we're good, to keep repenting. When we're good, to get closer, God, to thee. In Jesus' name. And there's a passage that I wanted to keep for me. And the Lord spoke to me and said, no, you give it to those that you minister today. It's found in Isaiah 61, first verse. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Isaiah is saying this. And I was thinking, Lord, I want it on me. And God said, you tell the people it's on them. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon you because the Lord has anointed you to bring good news to the suffering and afflicted. He has sent you to comfort the brokenhearted, to announce liberty to the captives, and to open the eyes of the blind. He has sent you to tell them who mourn that the time of God's favor to them has come. The time of God's favor to them has come. It's your message. It's what you're meant to share with the people that God brings your way. And so I would encourage you, Mark, Isaiah, chapter 61, starting in verse 1 there, and let God anoint you with His Holy Spirit, and let God cause you to give hope to somebody that needs hope, hope to somebody that needs hope. The gospel is the power of God. Thank God for the good news. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for the good news. Let's praise God concerning the good news. May God bless us all, I pray. And then looking in Galatians chapter 6 and looking at verse 9. And let us not get tired of doing what is right. For after a while, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't get discouraged. If you're doing what's right, don't get tired. If you're doing what's right, don't get tired. If you're doing what's right, don't get tired. If you're doing what's right, hallelujah. And after a while, we will reap a harvest. Hallelujah, of blessings. We don't get them instantly. You do what's right and you feel, I don't know. Nobody seems to respect it. Nobody seems to appreciate it. Everybody's wanting me to help them, and nobody's helping me. And I'm sick and tired, and I want to get out of this trouble. No, keep on doing what's right. Keep on doing what's right. You're going to have a time that God's going to reward you. It won't be when you're doing it. It'll be later, but it will come your way. God will bless you. God will make a way for you. God will minister to you. Believe God. And then in Philippians chapter 2, for God is at work within you, helping you to want to obey Him. I love that. God is working in you, helping you to want to obey Him. God, keep on working me, helping me to want to obey you. And then where do we go from then? Hallelujah. And then helping you to do what He wants. Helping you to do what He wants. Helping you to do what He wants. And I'll tell you right now, you're listening to an old man that wants God to help me to do what He wants. When I've come this far, and my wife says, don't say how old you are, but I'm 80 years old, and I'm preaching, and I'm thankful, and I'm praising God, and I want to go on doing what He wants. I want to go on. No, I don't want to retire. No, I don't want to stop. I want to run and not be weary. I want to run and not be weary. Stand with me in this service. I'll tell you right now that I ask God to help me in this message, to have something that could be a blessing, because there's a table spread where we are meant to be fed, and He's saying, come and dine. Get a meal today. Get a meal today. Get a meal today. And this week, it's Thanksgiving week. Thank God. Praise Him and rejoice.
Come on and worship the Lord. Come on, let's rejoice. Let's be thankful for God. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice.